Thank God for the love of God. Amen. Amen. Well, shake hands with one more person that you haven't shaken. Well, if you haven't shaken hands, just find somebody. Tell them that the love of God is for them. Amen. You can be seated. Good to see everybody tonight. And I had a scripture list here, and I'm looking for it. And as soon as I find it, I will be happy, happy, happy. I don't know what I did with that list. All right. Well, I know where I'm starting, so I'll just have to have them put them up. Oh, you got an extra copy, Cliff? I don't know what I did with that list. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I got my new King. I got to thank you. I went and got a new King James Bible. I'd given away the last ones that I'd had, and I kind of like the new King James, but I don't know. I've got my King James Bible here that I know where stuff is, on what side of the page it is, and so it's here just in case. All right, praise the Lord. If you have your Bible, open up to Romans chapter 1. We're going to start there and look at something. I want us to look tonight at something that I believe is very vital, or I'll say it this way, is vitally important. In fact, over the last over 39 years of ministry, I think this is one of the major areas that holds back Christians from walking in what Jesus has done for us. And that is not being established in the righteousness of God, that we have right standing with God, that if God calls us righteous, and that righteousness comes through the new creation. We're new creatures in Christ. We're going to read that here after we read Romans 1. We'll go to 2 Corinthians 5. But part of that is because in the beginning, I mean, we could have gone back to Genesis chapter 1 and looked at the creation of mankind, and then, of course, in Genesis chapter 3, where man disobeys God, and the initial result was they were afraid of God, and they had lost that sense of right standing with God. Any of you remember that growing up as a child? You remember? I mean, you know, when you've done everything, you know, and you've done what you're supposed to do, you don't have any trouble being around mom and dad. But if you hadn't done what they told you to do, you're not looking for any type of fellowship with mom and dad, right? Because you have a sense of I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Well, mankind is in that position because of sin, but because of Jesus, he's done away with that sense of guilt, that sense of inferiority. All right? We don't have to live with a consciousness of being a sinner, because now we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And I think the area that I've seen is so many Christians want to hold on to. They want to be a sinner and still be saved by grace. And you can't be both. You're either a sinner or you're saved by grace. Now, do we still have part of the sin nature to deal with? Well, it depends on what you're talking about now. It's not in your spirit. Your spirit's a brand new creation in Christ. It's in the very image of God. It's holy. It's righteous. All right? But now we have this flesh. Anybody not aware of the flesh? Okay? I mean, how many of you, your flesh has talked to you today? Any of you got hungry today? All right? Any of you, you know, it has wants, it has desires. And it's ruled by the five physical senses. Now, it can be ruled by our spirit. Our spirit man can tell our flesh, and we can present our bodies, and we should be a living sacrifice to God. But that tendency to sin is still, that flesh still carries that with it. And we're going to until the day that we get a resurrected body. Oh man, I'm looking forward to that. A new man in Christ. All right? But I'm not saying either that we have a dual nature, because the real man is the spirit man. All right? And I know that helps me. We're not going to turn, but 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about your whole spirit, soul, and body. And that pretty much describes mankind right there. When I say mankind, I'm talking about us as a species, men and women. You know, God created man, male and female. He created them. So, you know, when the Bible talks about man, most of the time it's talking about everybody. But I am a spirit. That's who I am. I'm made in the image of God. I have a soul. mind, will, emotions, and I live in a body. All right? Now, we know about our body, and we also know about our mind, but sometimes we're not as aware of our spirit man as we ought to be, and that causes us trouble, because we should be living this new life out of our spirit. And that's where that righteousness resides. But let's look here in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it what? The gospel, the good news, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, which is what? It's the power of God to salvation. That word salvation, man, it's the all-inclusive word of the gospel. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. For it is written, the just. Now, you could have easily just said, the righteous. Because just means those who've been declared righteous. The righteous shall live by faith. All right? Now, you notice here, he says, in it, in the word of God, is that righteousness revealed. If we are looking for right standing any other way than through the word, we're not going to find it. You're never going to satisfy that longing to have fellowship and be right with God any other way than through what the word says is the way to do it. I can't do it through my own goodness. I can't be good enough to be right with God. And the good news about that is all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we were all dead. We're all separated from God. That means that what Jesus did is applicable to all people then. There's no hierarchy. Well, there's high ranking sinners, and then there's medium sinners, and there's low sinners. No, it's just all sinner. Okay? And when you come to Jesus, there's no high ranking child of God, middle ranking child of God, low ranking child of God. We're all children of God. Amen. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. Righteousness. I like E.W. Kenyon's definition. I think it's a good definition and I found my list. Look at that. They're both the same. All right. Second Corinthians 5. But E.W. Kenyon's definition of righteousness, I really like it. He said it's the ability to stand in the presence of a holy God. How many of you know God's holy? And he is righteous, right? The ability to stand in the presence of a holy God, like Adam and Eve did before they sinned. Now, what happened after they sinned? What did they do? They hid from God, right? Yeah. But before that, if you get the idea that God came and walked with them and talked with them, well, it's the ability to stand in the presence of a holy God. Now, listen to this. I like this. Without the sense of guilt.
Yes.
You know, let's say you got summoned to court. And they were going to accuse, they have accused you of something, and you are absolutely innocent, right? Well, you should be able to stand there without any guilt. Why? Because you're innocent.
That's right.
That's how we are now because of Christ.
That's right.
Not because of me, not because of you, but because of what Jesus has done. He has made us innocent. So be able to stand in God's presence, a holy God, without the sense of guilt and without the sense of inferiority. Now, I'm not saying that we're God. Obviously, in one sense, we are inferior to God, but we're not, we are his children is what I'm saying. All right. As if, now he goes on to say, as if sin never existed in your life.
That's right.
Wow. Why? Because we sang about it. What did the blood of Jesus do? It washed us white as snow. Didn't just, you know, it totally cleansed. It took it away.
Amen.
Washed us. Now here in 2 Corinthians 5, we'll begin in verse 17 because, you know, you can't go just to 21. You have to start in 17, in my opinion. Now the Bible says there, therefore, well, you should probably back up and find out what it's there for, but we don't have time tonight. If anyone is in Christ, well, how many of you accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Well, you're in Christ. Got good news. So he's talking about you and I right now. You ready? If anyone is in Christ, talking about you, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Let them stay passed away.
Come on.
Yes.
Old things, right? Old things. Behold, all things have become what?
Yeah.
New. Now all things are of God. So, you know, if you're going through, just as a side note here, going through your day and something comes up that's not of God, you know that's not who you are. That's not from you. And you don't have to put up with it. You don't have to have it. And you don't have to think on it. It said, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's every single one of them. That is that God, here's what reconciliation's about. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or reckoning or not counting your trespasses against you, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So now because of that, Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you. He could have said, we're begging you. We're highly invested in this on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled. Why? He's already done it. Okay? Then he says, for, this is how he reconciles, he made him who knew no sin. Who's that? Who's the sinless one? Jesus was, right? So he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Now notice that what it doesn't say. It didn't say that Jesus was a sinner.
No.
He never sinned, right? He was sinless. He became sin for us. I don't even like the term he became a sinner because that's really not the case. He became sin for us. All right, now look at this. That what? We might become the righteousness of God in him. What an exchange took place. We brought sin and left with righteousness. He brought righteousness and left with our sin, but then was raised up in righteousness. When God had raised him from the dead, I love what Hebrews 1 says. He says, thy throne, O God, is forever. Jesus, God speaking to Jesus. And he said, the scepter of your kingdom shall be righteousness. Right standing. Hallelujah. Raised in righteousness. Well, we partake of that. Glory to God. Look at Romans 14. Romans 14. What's the kingdom of God? Romans 14. Look here in verse 17. I like this. It says, for the kingdom of God. Well, what's that? That's the kingdom where God is king.
That's right.
That's the kingdom we're part of. The kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness. Amen. I can't remember who sang it, but we used to sing that song. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. I like that song. I heard a group do that in Kenya one time, and people had a good time singing that song. But it is righteousness. Notice this. What is one of the outstanding characteristics of God's kingdom? Righteousness. And because of righteousness, we have peace with God and can live in peace. We don't live with a consciousness of sin. We don't live with a consciousness of being separated from God. God, through Christ, has made peace. Righteousness. And boy, when you've got peace with God, you can have joy.
That's right.
Joy. Amen. Now listen, I'm not, you know, if you're going through life and you don't have joy, then I want to suggest this, one of two things. You haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you're not letting him be the Lord of your life. Because in him, there's joy.
Amen.
Joy. Now, I know happiness is dependent on circumstance. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about joy because why? I've got peace with God and I'm right with him. And so what does it matter? What is this little thing that's come against me? Now, I'm like all of you, you know, you get aggravated about things. I mean, it's an hour and a half drive over here from where I live to church. And, you know, people do not know how to drive. I'm just telling you, they don't know how to drive. And so as I'm driving across there, you know, and driving across the, you know, interstate and people, I don't know, you know, I don't know. There's this new invention on cars. I don't know if any of you have seen it or not, but it's called cruise control. and it maintains your speed. So you're not speeding up, slowing down, speeding up, slowing down. I don't know what these people are doing that go by me five times and I go by them five times. I'm like, what? Just go. You know, the other invention is a blinker, but that's a whole nother sermon right there. We don't have time for that sermon tonight. Okay. But, you know, we have that, but that doesn't mean we can't maintain our joy.
Amen.
Right. And I love it. The Bible, Nehemiah says, what the joy of the Lord's are what?
Strength.
Strong. Glory to God. All right. And let's go to Romans chapter 3 now. Let's look at some of this teaching on righteousness, right standing. Really, you know, in order to operate in faith and to operate in the authority of the believer, we have to know our standing with God. And again, it's not my own righteousness. I mean, we're going to start off right here in verse number 10 of Romans chapter 3. What's it say? As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, how many of you know that's a quote? He's quoting. Why is that? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says later. Why? And we'll read that. But why is he quote? That's in the Old Testament, right? But it's true. There's none of us that can be righteous and earn righteousness from right standing with God. So there's none. And really, that's good news. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't live righteously. I know Matthew 6:33. You're familiar with it, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I really like the Amplified Bible right there. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of being and doing righteousness. So it's not just now that we be righteous. I know that's bad English, but now that we be righteous, or we are righteous, we can do righteousness. Okay? In other words, it should be the fruit, right, doing right with God. Not just being, but doing right with God. What is right with God, all right? All right, now look here at verse 19. Let's pick this up. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified, again, or declared righteous in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now. Everybody say, but now. Man, there's some great phrases in the New Testament. Thank God. You don't see it so much in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, phrases like, but now, and but God. See, we were going this way, but because of Jesus, God changed things. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Now notice that in order to partake of righteousness, then I have to believe. What do I have to believe? Well, in Christ. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now don't stop there. Don't stop there. Well, see, there we're all just sinners. Okay, yes, but now, right? It says, being justified freely, woo, glory to God, by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation, or it's the word that's the mercy seat. He's the mercy sacrifice by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, in other words, his patience, his love, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just, or that he might be righteous and the justifier, or that he who declares others right, of the one who has faith in Jesus. So when you exercise faith in Jesus, in other words, what is it that we are to believe? That he is Lord, right? That God has raised him from the dead, and confess him as our Lord. We believe that God raised him from the dead.
Yes.
That belief, okay, puts you in right standing with God. Right standing comes through belief. Now, every time I believe what the Word says, I'm in right standing with God according to his Word in my actions. But in my being, because of Jesus, when I got born again, I'm righteous. This new man is created in righteousness and holiness. In fact, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. I don't have that on my list, but I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I just love the Word of God. Don't you love the Word of God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. He says, talking about from verse 17 through 24, he talks about not living like you used to be, not living like the world who doesn't know God. They're alienated from the life of God. He says in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, or as one translation says, the attitude of the mind, and that you put on the new man. Now, we already have the new man on the inside, but he's talking about getting that new man on the outside, living like you're a new man. Put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Woo! So what's that new man on the inside? He's righteous. He's holy. That new creation that's on the inside of you. Your spirit man is created in righteousness. Now notice what he says. I like what New King James says. True righteousness and holiness. Well, let's go back to Romans chapter 4 now. That was just kind of a side journey as I was thinking about that. So here in Romans chapter 4, we see talking about Abraham, who we call the father of our faith, because Abraham believed God, right?
Yes.
And so we believe God with the same type of faith. Concerning Abraham's faith, it said, he said he counted him faithful, yes, that he would be able to do what he promised.
Amen.
In other words, when God told Abraham, you know, you and Sarah are going to have a son, and the Bible says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Before it ever happened, right? And so concerning that, but it talks about him being given a right standing with God because of something. Now let's look here. Now we know through Abraham, right? That through him, God made covenant. And the sign of the covenant was circumcision. The male children, 8 days old, and from 8 days old and up at the very first, all were to be circumcised. Anybody born into Israel at that time, because of the covenant, they'd be circumcised. In fact, that's how Pharaoh's daughter knew that Moses was a Hebrew child,
yeah,
when she looked at him, because he was circumcised. I've heard people, because he had a Hebrew blanket. No, because it was because he was circumcised. Okay. Oh, this is a Hebrew child. It's easy to see. This is someone who's in covenant with God. And so Abraham had that. But was he righteous because he was circumcised, or was he circumcised because he was righteous? Let's look at what the Word of God says here. Romans 4:1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified or declared righteous by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now that word accounted, I've got a note in this Bible, and it gives these words, imputed. We don't know that. Here's one, credited. Whew, God gave Abraham some credit. Extended righteousness to him on credit. Why? Because Jesus was going to come and pay the price. He reckoned it to him. He counted it to him. Now to him, verse 4, who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. How many of you, when you go to work, you know, you put the time in, it's not, they're not giving you, they've made a contract, they owe you the paycheck. So if righteousness is given because of I've worked, then it's as if God owes me righteousness. No, it's not by that. It's by God's grace. He has given it to me on his decision, not based on what I did. Verse 5, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of man, to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Here's quoting David in Psalm 32. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Now look at verse 9. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? So when did he have faith, and when was he accounted righteous? He's going to answer that right here. Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. See, he believed before he ever did the act of circumcision, and his belief is what made him right with God. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. Now, he just mentioned you right there. Right there, you just got talked about. Paul just talked about you in the Bible right there. Hallelujah. So I wish I knew where to talk about. Right there, it just talked about you in the Bible. In the Bible, okay? Now, skip down to verse 22. And therefore, it talked about him being fully persuaded. It was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. In other words, Jesus was raised so God could declare us right through faith. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. And that's why when you see him, you're going to fall at his feet. Yes. Amen. I mean, if Jesus physically, which he could do if he wanted to, walked in here right now, we'd all be getting up off the floor. Yes. Amen. Because he is holy and he is righteous. But he is love, and because of his love, the love of God, he took that upon himself. Now, chapter 5 is so full of riches. Let's read verse 1, then I want to skip down to verse 15. Therefore, because of what he just said, what we just read, having been justified or declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's what I said, righteousness, peace, and then joy in the Holy Ghost. Now look down at verse 15. Now, righteousness is a free gift. We didn't earn it. You can't pay for it. Faith is not paying. That's just God's way. That's how God decided to get us righteousness. It's his decision, okay? It says, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And that gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Because of Adam's sin, we have what? Condemnation. But because of Jesus' sacrifice, we have what? Justification or righteousness. Now see, that's why we talk about people who live in a sin consciousness, well, I'm just a sinner, always have the sense of being condemned. There's a condemnation that comes with it. Now, later on in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now, after he's talked about righteousness from chapter 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me or made me free from the law of sin and death. See, no condemnation. But if my thinking is, well, I'm just a sinner, or I've got this sin nature, and that's who I am, and all you just constantly, it's just a constant struggle against sin. Well, you're not resting in the finished work of Christ, then. You're not resting and you're not declaring. See, you got to start declaring who it is that you are and living that way. Now, let's read verse 17. For if by the one man's offense, death reigned. Or could we say it this way? Death was king. That's who reigns, right? Through the one, much more. Everybody say much more.
Much more.
Now, if you got your Bible, you ought to underline that much more. Not just barely. Not just bear, much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Woo, glory to God. Death was reigning as king in my life, but now I'm reigning as king over death because of who? Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all, resulting in justification of life. Boy, when God declared us righteous, he infused his very life into us. And that caused us to be born again. And the life of God is a well of water, living water, springing up into everlasting life. It's in us. Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He said here, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. See, God gave the law, which was righteous, to show mankind that we were sinners.
That's right.
That we couldn't measure up. That we were separated from God. But through Jesus, glory to God, because of that now, grace can abound. And again, how much? Much more. Much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now that sounds like a victorious life. That sounds like a life that's free from condemnation. That's free from this sense of God's mad at me. Always worry what God's going to do to me. No, God has actually set us free from that. In fact, I want to read you 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, and I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. The Living Bible here. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. Thank God for technology. Sometimes it really... All right. Like, that's not the living. That's the wrong one. TLB, there you go. I turned to the TLV, which is not the Living Bible. Here we go. 1 John 4, 18. Let me read it here from the New King James, and then it'll kind of help you understand what he's saying here when we read this. All right, 1 John 4, 18. The New King James says, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. We could also say condemnation. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now listen to this. Listen to this here. This is what happens when we live with a righteousness consciousness. All right? We live free from what he's going to talk. We live free from fear. Fear of what? That God's still looking to punish you.
That's right.
Now look, if God's looking to punish you, then Jesus did not take the full punishment on himself.
Come on.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. We need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us and shows that we are not fully convinced that he really loves us. Now, see, when I live in a righteousness consciousness, what do I mean by that? That my foundation of life has become, I am the righteousness of God in him. Now, I'm not just going around saying, I'm righteous. No, I'm righteous in him. See, no, I can't leave the in him out. Because without him, my righteousness is there's none. You know, like the old text says, it's filthy rags, right? Nobody wants to do anything with filthy rags, okay? All right. But thank God those filthy rags got washed in the blood of Jesus.
Glory to God.
And now they're white, spotless, as if they'd never sinned.
Yes, yes.
All right. Past is totally done away with. Hallelujah. Say, well, I don't understand that. I don't either, but God did it.
Amen.
I'm glad he did. He understood how to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. But because of that now, we can live a life of not, and I'm not talking about, but a life of boldness. A life of rest. And I'm not talking about a life of arrogance towards God. Now, there's a difference. Faith is not arrogant, but it is bold.
Yes.
right? Because faith in God always carries with it that humility. Humbleness. God, I'm having faith. I'm coming boldly to the throne, but I'm coming because of what Jesus did. That's why I'm coming in his name, not mine. Jesus didn't say, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. He didn't. When he talked about prayer, he said, whatsoever you ask the Father in your own name, he'll do. No, he said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that will he do. He didn't say, ask it in your name. Don't ask it in Tad's name. You see, that's why those seven sons of Sceva, the demon jumped on him and beat him up, because they ask it in Paul, in Jesus' name, whom Paul preaches. You don't need to put Paul in there. You don't need to put Tad in there. You don't need to put Pastor Hay. You need to put Jesus in there, right? It's in his name, and he's finished it. So we now can live a life, and I want to look at one more scripture, and we'll close. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter, let's see here. I believe we're going to look at, that's 10, I think it is. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 and 2.
10.
Hebrews 10, yes. Chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Now, how many of you know in the Old Testament, and under the Old Testament sacrifice, that they every year they made a sacrifice, one big sacrifice for the sins of all the people. Now during the year, if you as an individual knew you had sinned, you could come make sacrifice as individual. But then at one big time of year, they had the high priest would get a goat. They called it the scapegoat, and he'd lay his hands on the head of that goat, and he confessed the sins of the people over that goat, and then they'd let it go out in the wilderness, of course, to be eaten, killed, can't survive out there by itself. But that goat became the sacrifice for the sins of the people, that scapegoat. They would lay that hand. Then they'd also, of course, they sacrifice those bulls and goat, all blood sacrifice. But they had to make them year after year after year after year, because the blood of bulls and goats cannot do away with sin. It just what? It covered for sin. Now here, he said that throughout chapter 9, but he gets here to chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. In other words, it was a forerunner. If in the law, in those sacrifices, you can see a perfect sacrifices, but these sacrifices aren't perfect. You can see where there could be one, but none of these bulls and goats are that. He says, of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect or complete or whole. But then would they have not ceased to be offered. For the worshipers, once purified. Let me say it this way. For the worshipers, once washed by the blood of Jesus. For the worshipers, once born again by the word of God and redeemed by the blood of Jesus, if that was the case, would have had no more consciousness of sins. See, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do that. None of my effort could ever do that. But what Jesus did,
yes.
Jesus has freed us from the consciousness of sin, because we're no longer sinners. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 We used to sing a song, old chorus, we've come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. And I hope I might have done away with it here. But there was one part of it that said, he is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Sing that again. He is all my righteousness. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. Same line. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Well, let's do that right now. Just where you are, right where you're sitting. Just thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your righteousness. Your righteousness, you who knew no sin, were made to be sin for us, that we who knew no righteousness might be made the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. You, Lord, it's all because of you. The new creation is because of you. Our redemption is because of you. Our right standing with the Almighty God is because of you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you. You are all of our righteousness. And because you are complete and we're in you, we stand complete in you. Father, we bless you and we honor you. We give you glory in this place, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, Lord, I ask that this word, these scriptures would rise up and live big within each one of us. That Holy Spirit who brings things to our remembrance would bring these things to our remembrance. When we have thoughts and doubts come our way of our standing and our position, that you'd remind us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. That we not because of our own works, but because of the grace of God, are reigning in life in righteousness through the grace of God. Father, we just thank you and praise you for that. Father, I just give you all the glory and all the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because we are the righteousness of God, made so by the new creation, made so by entering into it through faith, because we are right with you, every healing, every power of God belongs to us. Thank you, Father God, that right now the life of God is working in our bodies, affecting a healing and a cure. That life is working, Father God, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. The life of God is in us because of the righteousness which reigns through eternal life. Oh, thank you, Father. And Father, we'll spend eternity enjoying and glorifying and worshiping you because of that righteousness. Oh, Lord, we bless you and we honor you in this place. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. 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 And because I don't know everyone that's here, I do want to give an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you do not want to leave this place tonight. You don't want to leave here because if you don't know Him, even though righteousness has been paid for, you haven't partaken of it. Righteousness belongs to you through Jesus Christ. Tonight, you can accept that free gift because God raised Jesus from the dead for your justification, that you would be right with Him. And so tonight, you can have that free gift of salvation and become and the righteousness of God in Him. If you're here tonight and you want to pray that after we dismiss, I want you to come forward and we'll pray with you. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything else, you want prayer, you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you want to rededicate your life to Christ. Hallelujah. Because you've broken off fellowship with Him. He hasn't broken from you. You've broken it off from Him. You come tonight and you can be prayed for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother Greg, do we have anything? Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you and praise you. And here in a moment when we pray a prayer of dismissal, if you need prayer, you come. If you want to make Jesus the Lord of life, Lord of your life, you come. If you want to rededicate, you come. You want to receive the Holy Ghost tonight, as found in Acts chapter 2, and they were all filled and they all spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You come tonight. Hallelujah. 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 In just a moment here when we pray and we say amen, our connection team, go ahead and find our first-time guest. Get them that gift from Pastor and Mrs. Hagan and the entire Rhema Bible Church, Oklahoma City. congregation. Father, we thank you tonight. We glorify you tonight because of you. Because of you and what you did through Christ, our eternity has been forever changed. Our identity has been forever changed. And we're right with you. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said together, amen. Amen. If you need prayer, come. If you want to sign Pastor Hagen's card, go on out there in the reception area and do that. If you want to, and our first-time guests, please go with our friend. And love on one another before you leave tonight. Amen. God bless you.